Welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things 13th age. I'm your host, Jam, and with me as always are Becca, Mark, and Nick.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
We have a great show for you this week. Today we're building our first random encounter for this season, season three, and it's also going to be our first random encounter set in Tanar, which is the world we're going to be using to build our random encounters kind of going forward. It'll also be the world that we're going to be running our Iconic Patreon game in once the current arc finishes in the Dragon Empire. So before we get into it, What's new in gaming with you guys?
I have sadly lost the group I was GMing for. They have all moved away, except for like two of them. And as much fun as I have with them, they're getting their fix from someone else. And so they don't need me to run games for them anymore. I've just been a player. But yeah, no, Pathfinder 2 has dropped new rules that we're playing in Tanar with. We just did a long weekend of D&D in Tanar.
Mm-hmm. 4 days of gaming with the Iconic crew and a couple of other people, which was awesome.
It was awesome. My brain hurt at the end of it. But yeah, so that's been my life.
Yeah, gaming for me has been kind of quiet lately just due to schedules and circumstances and such. But yeah, that 4 day gaming weekend, that was a lot. You know, I was laughing so hard, I was crying, and then stuff was happening in character that was making me cry, and like emotions, feelings.
one of the players, player death. Yeah, one of the players was definitely like, "Woohoo! I made Nick cry."
Played in that marathon game. It was a lot of fun. Playing in 13th Age, running 13th Age, our online Castles and Crusades game.
Spinning that back up tomorrow.
Yes. New characters.
Yeah.
Still some once in a while Dark Eye. And when I'm not running a lot of computer games.
Yeah.
Getting spun up on stuff and looking forward to some Kickstarters to finally come through so I can start running some other stuff. Lankmar and other things. That would be nice.
That'll be awesome.
Yep.
What have you been up to?
Well, I ran this 4 day marathon session of D&D. It was awesome. Like, I had a lot of fun. We played like 35, 36 hours of D&D, which was just awesome. Pathfinder 2 game and a RuneQuest Glorantha game and a 13th Age game and a couple of 5e games, you know, and writing. That's basic. I run a lot of games, as Ben mentioned 2 episodes ago. We are going to jump into our first adventure, and our goal here with our new random encounter format is we're going to try and do 6 of them spread across the season, 2 at Adventure, 2 at Champion, 2 at Epic, to kind of give you, the listeners, some continuity that if you decide to drop one in, you know that, hey, there's going to be another one and a couple more down the line, so that if you are using them, and if you are, please let us know, that it's not just a one and done disconnected thing, that if you want to kind of start threading these together, you could. So, Becca, do you want to give us our overview of our random encounter for this session?
Yeah, so this is our first adventure, so you're going to have nice low-level crunchy characters, and it is monster fights are happening in the town of Carax. Think about like gladiator underground fighting rings happening in this quaint, dark seaside port that just so happens to be under the reach of Shadow's Reach, which is a dark, evil place. And the question is, what is going on in these fighting rings and who is behind it? And how will the PCs escape without getting caught up in it?
That's right. Getting caught up.
First rule of monster fights is you don't talk about monster fights.
That's right.
And that's a wrap.
That's it. And thank you for tuning in next week. The idea is that someone is running underground monster fights. How do we get the players invested in this and what's going on? So let's kind of start high level, as we've done before. What icons would be most interested in this? And on the show, we will be Tanar focused, but we will also be talking about Dragon Empire icons. Like, if you're going to set something like this in a more traditional 13th Age game, how would we do that? What Tanar icons stood out to you guys as ones that would definitely be involved?
I had the Red Alchemist.
Mm-hmm. That was me too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So from the outline, people make notes like, yeah, Red Alchemist makes a lot of sense for what she does. The Guild, because they deal in everything. And then I also thought the perversions, specifically back off, perversion of greed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of betting. Mm-hmm. The whole reason to do this is to make money. And maybe the Spell Queen, just because she's fairly close and she can sense all this chaos going on. She might be interested in, hey, what's going on here? I'm hearing bad things. You know, Shadow Reach is extending more influence.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on those icons and in the perversions. I was thinking Patsum, the perversion of bondage, because if you have these monster fights because someone is looking for specialized mercenaries or agents, you got to get them bound to yourself somehow. An opposing icon to the guild or the Red Alchemist would be the Keeper, someone who cares for the Desolates and all the monsters, creatures therein. And if creatures are being shipped off to these monster fights, she would not be pleased.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had the Guild of Falling Leaves as well, because if things are going in and out of a town undetected, guilds probably involved somehow. I went the opposite direction, though, Mark. I went north to the Empire. Mm-hmm. You know, if this town, it kind of sits in that liminal space between the influence of Shadow's Reach and the Spell Queen's area and the Empire, Empress is going to get involved. Like, what is going on here? Because some of these things are starting to come north or head into other areas.
See, I was thinking for the Empress, maybe having this be a way for her to, in her quest to constantly be expanding her kingdom, looking for that edge. You know, she's having trouble in a certain area. Like, well, okay, I need a leg up. So let's start experimenting.
Mm. Okay.
But the guild also came immediately to mind as one that could move stuff around and also be able to easily say, well, we're just the messengers. You know, we don't know what's in the box. We're delivery men.
Yeah.
But that's maybe how, there's something else going on.
That's how that works.
And you could have a lot of, the Wanderer, the Rivener, anything trying to keep things to the good would be an opposed one. The ones movers, shakers, yeah, that would be, I think, the guild for sure. Mm-hmm. And I have a different take on Karrax. You know, you say the underground fights. This is a known place where anything can be bought or sold or traded in. So underground, kind of, you know, I mean, it's just people kind of look the other way versus like in the Empire, it would definitely be underground, secretive.
Right.
Here it's underground, but everybody knows about it. So it's not that hard to find.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
That's too. What I was thinking here.
Yeah.
Kind of, because it's right on the edge. It's not open form, you know, like historically, like Rome, when they had the Colosseum, everybody went, it was known. Here it's underground. It's away, but it's not that hard to find.
Maybe more of like an elite. Everybody knows about it.
It's not like a public form. You can just walk in and see it. You have to know how to get in, but it's not impossible to do it. That was kind of my take on it.
So in the Dragon Empire, the two things that come to mind for something like this would be Shadowport.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or Drakenhall. Right, where the blue is in control and is definitely the sorceress.
I could see the Crusader. How do I get better fighters? All right, let's let some demons loose. You guys go fight them.
Yeah.
And get better.
So what icons in 13th Age? We got the Crusader,
the Diabolus, the three Prince Shadows. There's all kinds of... And then opposed would be any of the good ones. Mm-hmm. Archmage, Gurgle Worm.
Well, I can see, you know, depending on how you're going to depict the Archmage... he could be having a hand in this. I mean, he could be the mad wizard who's doing the experimentations.
The druid, because, hey, why are you taking my deer and bears and turning them into aberrations and then killing them? Mm-hmm. So that wouldn't be good.
Yeah, the high druid, I think, is very similar to the Keeper in Tanar, very much opposed to using creatures of the land. I think the Prince of Shadows would be an interesting icon to play with, because the question is, are they happy with what is going on? Did this get out of hand and now they need to stop it? Or is this something that is encroaching too far onto their territory by another icon? And please stop this before I have to get involved.
Yeah. I'm not getting my cut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, as we kind of start all of our random encounters, what are some rumors that we can come up with that would lure the PCs to Karrax to investigate? Becca, what you got?
There's something in the waters. Maybe ships are going down or payments aren't being reached. there's something that's not getting into further into the desolates that comes from beyond the waters, and it's stopping in this town because there's something in the waters taking it out. Also with this, just hearing as they go around that if they have any monster flesh from the desolates, they can get some good money for that if they head to Carax. Mm-hmm. So anytime they fight something odd or monstrous out in the wastes, they bring it back to this town to get a little money. And if they do that a couple times, hey, you want to come see what's going on with that? Like, mm-hmm. you want to know where this is going?
Mm-hmm. I had a ship that arrived in port out of Carax. Everyone on the ship was brutally killed. Pools of acid, you know, people who were petrified, things that just don't add up. Like, was there multiple creatures out of here? Was there one? What is going on? Someone has hired the group. I need you to go find out what happened to the people on the ship in the first place to, you know, everybody was alive when they left port.
Mm-hmm.
I also had the thought about, you know, perhaps the guild putting out a bounty for captured monsters, mm-hmm. or, you know, any group, wouldn't necessarily have to be the guild, but just the thought of, okay, we're going to go out into the desolates and we're not going to kill monsters. We're going to capture them and maybe make some good coin doing that too. Also hearing a rumor that, you know, maybe if you want to make some good coin, order the open maw at Grindel's Tavern. And that being the phrase to get you actually being mm-hmm. into the fights to be able to play some bets.
Yeah. The other one I had was a group of adventurers were found dead, and the only sign was this kind of red arrowhead that was carved into their bodies, or a red arrowhead token that was found on their person, and kind of investigating what that means.
So I had different kind of rumors kind of tied into why they're there. One of them being a simple trope. There's a missing person and you've been hired to go mm-hmm. find them. Because I divided up Carax into dockside, mm-hmm. rough and tumble, sailors and thugs, not safe place of town. And then up top where the actual rich merchants, they have their own guards, so it's a little bit safer. Somebody wandered in the wrong area, disappeared, you're hired to go find them. Because in mine, the pit, the arena, started out with monster versus monster, and we want to liven it up so we'll get some people to fight them, and so they need people to go fight. And then it ramps up more where, as you're investigating, you'll run into one of the fixers that looks for people, and they're tired of, hey, let's throw this merchant in the pit. Well, that didn't last very long. Let's get some trained fighters to go fight them. So you're recruited. Hey, do you want to make some money? Okay, you can go last two rounds fighting this var or whatever is made. The other rumor is upriver would be the soot to, what was the river, to Loam?
To Loam.
Things are swimming, as they escaped, swim upriver. They're concerned. The local fishermen fishing the river are now pulled out this two-headed thing that this shouldn't be in our river. What is, and what's downriver? A car accident. Well, let's go see what's going on.
Right. Cool.
So those kind of rumors to get you involved in it, either to investigate or you get recruited because, hey, you're obviously pretty good adventurers. You know how to fight. Mm-hmm. Want to earn some money? Last two rounds in there. That's just a var.
Yeah, another rumor might be that monsters have been seen trying to escape the town. You know, instead of the guards, you know, holding the monsters at bay from getting in, the monsters are trying to get out, and they keep getting captured and like dragged back into town. I can see that, at least for my players, really hooking their curiosity and interest. And well, why are they dragging the monsters back into town?
So we have Carax, seaside port town. Various islands off the shore, which are known smuggling locations, and that it's sort of a rough and tumble. In my mind, it was always Tombstone, but on a port, right? Almost a boomtown. You've got the wealthy who are trying to get this thing to start up, and then you've got the people who are slugging it out day in and day out, dying in the streets, you know, fights breaking out, that sort of thing. What is one piece of general atmosphere that we could add to this town? And who are the people in town that you see kind of being very important here?
Well, my NPC that was a recruiter is Blacktail, a female wolfen fight fixer that recruits. Either you can send adventurers into the desolates, bring back monsters or pieces of monsters. Or, hey, do you want to earn some coin to go fight in the pit? So that's an NPC that you could meet inquiring about stuff.
Well, and you had a great piece of like atmosphere for the town where you have dockside and uphill where you have the two.
It's two separate. So where like normal merchants who are coming from the Empire going to Shadowreach would stay in taverns in uptown because there's guards. Not really, I don't consider it the government like a city watch, but there's enough. The Guild of Falling Leaves have guards to protect the merchants Dockside is where your drovers, your sailors, the thugs. So in my rumor of, or the trope of a missing person, having dockside, no one's going to investigate it. Happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're hired to go down there. And it is, you know, like you said, Tombstone's rough and tumble. Yeah, there's law, but through that gate is the law. Down here is, we're the law.
Hmm. I had just a tavern. And when I was thinking through this, it was a tavern where you can find the fights. With that piece of information of a dockside and an uptown, I just split it into two taverns. If you go to the one down at Dockside, you get into the fights. If you go to the one in Uptown, you get a bet on the fights.
Ooh,
yeah. You see the chalkboard? So, you see weird names on the chalkboard. Oh, is that a horse race? No, that's the fights. That's the latest on the fights mm-hmm. tonight.
And so, yeah, if you're in the grimy tavern down in Dockside, you meet your NPC, Mark, that I just based on her name.
Blacktail.
You meet your NPC, Blacktail, or I had the name Kennen just because it resonates with me.
Kennen was my NPC.
Who's a recruiter like Blacktail and will never lie to the PCs and will somehow get them to get into these fights, perhaps even unwillingly. And then on the opposite end of town, when you're in the upscale tavern, you might be able to talk to someone who, well, if you got the money, you can bet on this and maybe make more. And here's your black velvet mask that you have to wear. That'll let you in.
Yeah.
I kept coming back to that betting aspect. I mean, my thoughts as well. And just the thought that maybe there was a bigger fight pending. And so maybe a general sense of tension in the town, wherever you're at. I had the thought if the inhabitants kept losing their bets, then they would end up becoming indebted to whoever it is that's organizing this. And so I had in my mind that maybe they all had to wear like a red ring or something like that, or maybe that has something to do with those red arrows or something. But that might be something else for the PCs to notice and be like, well, why is everyone wearing these rings? Or how come everyone has this this tattooed on them or something to that effect? Mm-hmm.
You remember real life in boxing matches or MMA, there's always undercards. So that would be the person snatched off the street, thrown against a VAR, versus champion tier adventurers who have to go fight something that the Red Alchemist has cooked up. So you build up and you have the undercard fights that are nothing, very little money. And then you have,
the main event.
The main event, Never's lost, is 10-0, has eaten every opponent. Mm-hmm. Hey, we'll pay you really good. Or you can get out of debt if you go do this. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and it could be different levels of debt where,
sure,
okay, you just have a little bit of a debt. All right, you need to go to Deschlitz and bring back pieces of something. Or, sorry, you need to go and fight.
Well, let's go into the fights then. So the group, whether through following the rumors, getting on the high end in Uptown, getting involved in the betting, Lowtown, getting Dockside, getting pulled into these things. How do the adventurers discover the fights? And in your mind, what is one really great feature of these fighting pits?
I just kind of pictured the typical Roman gladiatorial where you're in the pit, sand, there's a gate, you're let out there, gate comes up, monsters come out.
So you see it as just kind of a, like an arena fight.
Yes. And small little arena that would have the typical sailors and thugs, and then maybe some higher balcony seats, curtains get pulled back, the well-to-do in their velvet masks are watching safely away from the fight in case it spills over, but who cares about the front row people?
So how do the adventurers get pulled into that?
Well, they get offered money, and maybe because they're looking for the missing person, like, well, let's get on the inside and we'll find this person that we're looking for. Yeah, we'll go fight. They're not really looking to make money, but that's how they can get inside to see the seedy side. Are they all volunteers? You've heard that people disappear. And as you track it down, asking questions, either because she can make money or she's trying to get rid of the questions, Blacktail's like, oh, yeah, you can go fight. I just, I'm just a connection, but she knows more. And let me send you off to your death so these questions go away.
Or the person you want to talk to is looking for fighters to win this fight. If you win the fight, you can talk with the benefactor. Mm. What about you, Becca? How do they discover it? And what's a feature of the fight?
So outside of the taverns, and the recruiter. I also had the NPC of Lord Jax, who we have established as the settlement leader. Mm-hmm. And he knows about the fights. He's in on it. He gets paid by whatever icon is creating these fights and creating these monsters. And so if the PCs ask enough questions and push enough of the law and order side of things, they eventually get brought in front of the governor, who either takes them as his guests to show them what is possible and how much money could be made, or gets them arrested and thrown in the pits because he has the power to do so.
Yeah. And what's one of the features of the fights that you would want to see highlighted?
I had that there are like cages and bouncers in this arena. I was thinking again, an underground arena ring. But one of the big things that I had in my mind was there are more fighters than bouncers or guards. And so if the PCs play it right, they could incite a riot and break it out into the open and break it free. Is that the best decision to do? And you suddenly unleash all these monsters upon the town?
I am Spartacus.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so that in my mind for these fights, the fighters outnumber anyone who has power or control. And so the PCs have the opportunity to break it open.
One of the things on the fighters thing about too is not just the cages and you get released. It's especially in your case, if you get forced into it, you know, cages open, you're let out, all your stuff is in the middle. You have to run to it, equip before the monsters come out and eat you.
So maybe do something with the escalation die there.
Mm-hmm.
Like the feature that I was thinking of was, oh, well, you're winning this fight and it's super easy. Well, that's not what the docket said. You were supposed to lose. So on escalation die 3, open another gate.
Mm. And there's some that was not to steal from another one, but an adventure I ran. We'll pay you more if you go 3 rounds. So if the escalation die gets to here, you get more money.
Mm-hmm.
Extend the fight out before you win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a couple ideas on how to get the adventurers in there, and kind of it depended on how heavy-handed it wanted to be or what was the happening at the table. Easier hand might be, you know, the adventurers having some sort of sympathetic relationship with some other NPC they may encounter and who is indebted and trying to track down how can they help this person clear their debt. Maybe they hear a ruckus at night and are going to go investigate. Kind of more of the middle ground, giving them, you know, big hook would be giving them the rumor about ordering the open maw and, you know, having them go do that, or being hired to go chase this monster that escaped, but don't kill it, bring it back. And then having to deliver it somewhere. And then the heavy hand would be, you know, being mistaken for someone who is indebted or just being captured by, hey, we're just coming through with the brute squad. We're rounding up the next fight for tonight, that sort of thing. The feature that I had in mind for the fights is that the pit itself is a monster and it eats the losers.
Hmm.
And it will morph and change the terrain throughout the fight. And so if the PCs were actually in combat, I would roll like a percentile die or something like that each round to see if the terrain changes and what those changes might be.
Or if the escalation die hits 6, the maw opens up and eats everybody that's in the pit.
Or I was thinking too that maybe the pit itself would make an attack on the first creature that gets staggered. You know, just if something comes up and bites it. But.
Or even the first time any creature is staggered.
That's what I meant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And there's other ways to get in the pit. I thought, you instead of, you know, heavy handed with a whole group, but you always have in that party that one person, oh, I'm the rogue, so I'm going to go, and they get arrested. And then they, you know,
oh, where's
Bob? Oh, well, if Bob got arrested in Dockside, you're going to have to, he's in the pit. What? And then you go into the pit to help him, or someone who's indebted comes to you, or their son is indebted. Please save my son.
Yeah.
He's going to have to fight in the pit. He's just a fisherman. And you could say, suckered in to go help that person.
Kind of spinning off of that, my idea was if you're here from an icon, then you're going to want to try and get into the fights, right? For whatever reason that we just kind of covered before. But the twist being, if you're going after that person who's been kidnapped or taken or lost, well, there you find them in the center, you know, staked in the center of the arena. And when you go in to rescue them, that's when the lights come on and the monsters come out. Mm-hmm. Or at escalation die 3 or 4, something happens and, you know, maybe two of the serving lads who were serving drinks in the upper tiers get knocked into the pit.
Rules of the pit. If you're in the pit, you're now a combatant.
Yeah. Nobody up there is going to care. So now the PCs, instead of just having to kill something, have to make sure it doesn't kill something else.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, one way is to do your investigation and find out the person that got kidnapped. Yeah. Is staked out, not immobile, but like 10 foot of chain in the middle. And you're like, okay, crap. Well, almost you jump over, and as you jump on land, there, you know, the announcer, oh, we have new combatants. Mm-hmm. Once you're in, you can't come out until the monster's dead.
Yeah. Now, our goal was to move from the pit, the fighting pits under Carrix, to one of the islands off the coast. First of all, what monsters are you thinking of would you use in the pits? What sort of fights? Now, for me, my initial thought was a double strength fight. I want this to be scary. I want the group to feel like, what is going on under this town? How is this going on under the town? Which just led me to far too many ideas to, I have like 16 double strength first level fights to use.
Well, we definitely recommend aberrations at this point.
Yes. Yes.
Because in Tanar, aberrations are a created species. Monster
yeah.
species.
Category?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Category is a good one. And so if those are the type of monsters that are being created, you want to use aberrations for this.
So the one that I put together, right, because so aberrations are things, at least in my mind, that are not natural. They are the result of magical experimentation or taking two things that taste great apart but taste better together, like owls and bears.
Yeah. Owlbears, yeah, that's a great one.
Mine was the coblins from Overworld and Beyond. It was like, well, what could I? Ooh, well, I mean, Ash did all of the mashup for me. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shark bats.
Yeah.
What were you thinking, Becca?
Don't throw shark bats. You'll lose DPK.
I mean, I hadn't settled on anything specific, just aberration and in thinking that a lot of the different books written by Ash, they have a lot of good mashups.
I would just take speed. I didn't come up with specific character, but like you said, oh, look, this is two kobolds running at me. Oh, my God. One has spit acid at Nick's character and melted his leg. Just throw in weird attacks that aren't normal for that. And we don't have, you know, goblins, we have var, but yeah, something that would be normal, like, oh, look, it's just desert hyenas, mm-hmm. but they've got spikes, and they just shot spikes, and they're poisoned, and just different things, mash it up, and yeah, make them stronger, make it a double strength.
The simplest thing that I was thinking of is pick a monster that you like, and roll on the random demon ability table, or the random dragon table, or pick a nastier special from any other monster.
You know, like the Displacer Beast, you know, it's a Black Panther with tentacles.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
They're cuddly.
It is.
Yeah, I just kept thinking, you know, pick two or three monsters out of the bestiary or you know, any other source book and just pick and choose and kind of mash them up in somehow. Okay, so you want to use a dire wolf. Okay, well, give it a scorpion tail. You know, something mm-hmm. along those lines mm-hmm. where, you know, some experimentation is going on that's fusing different pieces together. And then that hook, that question of these aren't natural, these aren't normal. Mm-hmm. What's happening and where might be a good way to lead the adventurers out of just the fights onto this quest of what's really going on.
Right. And so what we have there is our goal is to get the adventurers from the fights to the island where this laboratory is. Mm-hmm. So what are your ideas for getting the group out of the city onto these islands where the monsters are being developed?
If your characters had managed to stay in the betting arena, the top tiers of this underground ring, they may be able to find influence to ask somebody, hey, this was really interesting. Where's this happening? What's going on? And depending on what PC they use, and if it's an antagonist that will perhaps use the PCs for their own ends. Yeah, sure. Oh, it's out on that island.
Depending on how you got in there, if Blacktail mm-hmm. sent you in and you made some people some money while you're having drinks after the fight. You guys did really great. You know, I'm glad you kept it out to four rounds, made it really a good spectacle. Yeah, where are these monsters coming from? These aren't anything like I've. There's an island out there somewhere. We're not sure which one because there's islands. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that would lead you down to maybe talk to some fishermen who know the local waters or a pilot who brings in ships. Oh, yeah, we stay away from that. We stay away from that when weird things happen over there. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're bad fish. We can't eat them. You know, they got two heads. So yeah. We stay away from that island. And then you'd have to get there.
I saw this being a perfect opportunity for sort of an investigation montage. Mm-hmm. Hey, who did you talk to? Okay. Well, this person knows this. How did you narrow this down? You know, running mm-hmm. this, like the investigation side of thing is a montage.
We talked to the Onion Knight and he's a smuggler. So,
well, so if you want to run it as a montage, player one picks an NPC. Mm-hmm. Describe me a character, Nick. The little orphan boy. Okay. Mark, how do you convince the little orphan boy to talk to you?
Mm-hmm. I buy him a bowl of soup and feed him. And
okay. Then he tells you X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Who's the next NPC you look for?
He
pushed me towards a fisherman who...
All right, JM, how do you get the fisherman? Like, that would be the way to run that montage. Instead of going, okay, what's the encounter and how'd you solve it? It's who's the NPC? How did you get them to talk to you?
Exactly.
No, that'd be good. And that's where we just kind of give him some guidance. It's not just a travel, what obstacle, but yeah, kind of give him the caveat. What NPC? And then what information and pass it mm-hmm. to the next person to... He gave you this. Okay, the next person, what do you do with it? To finally end up, we finally talked to, the harbor pilot who guides us. We rent a boat and takes us there for a lot of money because we don't want to go there. We'll mm-hmm. drop you off. And when you wave a lantern two times, we'll come back and pick you up. But right. mm-hmm. we're not hanging out.
Mm-hmm. Or at the end of the montage, just kind of turn to your players and ask them, all right, that is all that information you got. Who are you going to get to take you to the island? Mm-hmm. Which one are you going to do? Are you going to do the smuggler, the fight transporter, the guy who puts the monsters in cages and brings them over? Or are you going to get the fisherman who's scared to death of going over there?
The other thing I was thinking of is if we're dealing with someone who can change creatures, and this would be a perfect opportunity for hooking in a one unique thing that has to do with some sort of like change that has happened to the creature. If you're playing, I mean, I know you put this in later, but like the abomination, mm-hmm. right? Maybe the abomination is from this island and you're like, here's where you were changed.
Start having memory come back. Like, wait,
Yeah.
I also was thinking of if you have a campaign loss. So if your PCs end up in that fight and it goes poorly and they get beaten, tell them, okay, you're not dead. But you wake up
on the island,
in the lab, and there is something weird with your arm. Or
I was just going to say, do a montage and give the person to your right a new mutagenic feature.
mm-hmm. And so that's a campaign loss that, again, isn't everybody's dead. Try again. It's OK. Yeah, I get it. You guys are level one. I threw a triple strength at you and you lost. You're still alive. You're still going to figure out what's happening. But. You know, you're part of the puzzle now.
Right.
See, I was thinking on the other end of the spectrum where they did too well. This was supposed to be a fixed fight and they beat it and soundly. And so, the winners get to move on to the next fight, but you guys aren't winners. You're champions. So you get to go meet the big man on the islands. Mm-hmm. And maybe the thought being that they could be used as experiments to go back to the fight later on.
That's what I was thinking. In Nick's case, his missing arm is now grown back into a tentacle. Right. I now have two arms again.
That's
it's a tentacle.
So, the island, right? The island is obviously going to be guarded somehow. The island is obviously going to be mysterious enough that people are going to stay away from it, and there's going to be a complex on the island. So for me, I want the island patrolled, right? Sahaguin. And actually, I wasn't even thinking Sahagwin.
I was just thinking of aberrations that aren't quite good enough for the pit. So
right. But the idea that maybe there are some sort of merfolk that didn't want to be merfolk, but they can't leave because the only thing keeping them alive is their weekly ration of something that keeps their gills functioning. Mm. So whoever's on this island obviously is a villain because they've... changed people against their will and then enslaved them through this sort of addictive compound.
Yeah, I was thinking the original inhabitants were the first to go. Experiments, as they do, didn't go well, so now they're the guards. And
well, and I like your idea of just whatever random weird gonzo thing got out. Well, I can't really sell this one, but you know what it'll do? Throw it up top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could have it too, where they have to wait till it's low tide and take a smaller boat, shoot the eye of the needle to get through the barrier reef kind of thing to get into, oh, look, there's an island inside here.
Run it as a skill challenge or something like that.
Something like that, if you want.
What about you, Becca?
My first question for you, JM, is are these islands particularly tropical or more?
These are tropical islands.
North. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, with that, you got mare people or snake people or
shark people.
And my feature of the island was that it appears run down. The surface of the island is worse than dockside. Therefore, the people who are there and running it, the rejects, the forced slave labor, they don't want to be there. This is their only option. Make it that much worse for them, which then once the players get underground to the lab, it's pristine. It's magical. It's clearly well kept. And the monsters or the aberrations patrolling the lab are much cleaner, much healthier, much better than those on the top on the surface.
Now, continuing our, or at least my trope of the Archmage being bad, or at least off, I feel like this lab is a good point if you're in the Dragon Empire. Well, if somebody has a negative relationship with the Archmage or a conflicted relationship with the Archmage or the Diabolist or any of the icons that we mentioned earlier, like this is the point where once you cross into the laboratory, this arcane lab just stinks to high heaven of that icon's influence. Everyone down here to go play off Bega's ideas got the emblem and they look right because they know my rumor or feature of the lab is everyone working there gets paid really well. Everyone under there is a geese, so they can't talk about it once they leave. And they all know, you know, there's weekly performance reviews, but it's the person who performs the worst. They're the next batch of experiments. So everyone is constantly like, I am not going to be the one who gets sent to the labs.
My take was a little bit different.
Go for it.
Wizard type minion. It won't be the Red Alchemist, but a wizard necromancer. So all the help are undead.
Ooh, that's
cool. Why sometimes, you know, go get me the normal brain.
Yeah.
It's Abby normal.
Yeah.
So things don't go quite right because they're undead. So they're perfect, loyal, not going to wander away. They'll listen to what you want. Don't have to feed them. Don't have to pay them.
The feature of the lab that I was thinking of is that there's some sort of like emotion suppressing magics that help keep the monsters that are being experimented upon docile. But unfortunately, it messes with magic items that are brought into it. So for the quirks or the magic items, you know, I would envision as the players enter into the lab, they got to roll a d20, you know, on an even, the quirk is suppressed, but on an odd, it's amplified just because it does weird things. I'm kind of playing with it that way.
Yeah. One of the things that I wanted to make for this, I want to make a new type of potion table. So like runes where you roll to see what the rune effect is. But have it be healing potions that have an effect. And it could be, hey, this stuff's got some troll blood in it. So not only do you heal, but you continually regenerate. Or this thing has some, you know, you're late. It's got Naga tendencies in it. So congratulations for the next encounter. You don't have two legs anymore. They merge and you take the healing potion and now you have your serpent from the waist down.
Until they take a long rest or something
like that. Yeah. Yeah.
And I like the troll blood ones. Like, yeah, no, you'll heal and you're going to regenerate. You also continue to grow for a little bit and you're going to outgrow your armor and just.
Yeah. Yeah, until the next long rest,
and then you're back to normal again.
Right.
But you don't know that. You don't tell them that.
You roll randomly when it happens.
I'm a troll.
So what kind of guards do you see in this area?
Well, I was, as far as guards go, I was thinking there's, you know, going to be a variety of lab techs who, depending on how the PCs are entering into this, if they're coming in all guns blazing, then, you know, the techs are going to go, all right, sick them and turn all the monsters on the PCs.
I think of that scene in Cabin in the Woods where they turn off all the fields and like all of the monsters.
Just... I was thinking, you get in there, you go downstairs. The first room you come to is a reception desk for Umbrella Corp.
You're like, yeah.
Right. So you had mentioned undead.
Inside the lab.
Inside
as
the
helpers,
lab.
As helpers. And then the aberrations of the guards up top.
Aberrations of the guards up top. The idea that there are the techs who need to stay on top of this and be the best that they could be. There's the also then the idea of golems or made creations being the lab techs, the helpers. They don't have emotions. This dwarven forged
just as Digger
creature named Digger. It's a job. It gets,
that's right.
Yeah, they see the PCs come in like, oh, fresh meat here. Let's get you on the table.
Yeah. They're like, oh, you're here to volunteer. That's great. We usually don't have volunteers. Why are you volunteering?
All right. So we've established that, at least on our notes, I don't know if we've said it, but the Red Alchemist is behind all of this. And this is supposed to be the first step for the PCs to kind of figure out what's going on with this icon. What is she up to? So who is in charge of this lab and how do they point back to the Red Alchemist?
Intanar, the Red Alchemist, is an emerging icon.
Yes.
She isn't well established. Most of the other icons probably don't know much about her. And so in that vein, as GMs, you have freedom to kind of push some of those boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had her here overseeing experiments, but when you get there... like I said, I kind of had the general help were undead, but there's two or three actual beings of whatever race you want that are helpers. And so one of them is kind of Lieutenant, the wizard necromancer that's overseeing some things. So the Red Alchemist won't be there
when
you raid the lab, but obviously had been here, does stuff, and cause aberrations can be kind of dangerous.
Very dangerous, yeah.
To have hold, probably in the Empire would be illegal. To have it.
Definitely in the Dragon Empire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Dragon Empire, but also, just the Cardian Empire would be illegal. And
So I went somewhat similar to you, where you had somebody who was a lieutenant, but my guy was, in my mind, he's siphoning off a little bit of it. He's the guy who starts sampling his own wares, and that's never a good sign. Yeah. So I had almost a Abomination-style guy who, when the group comes in, they see this scrawny little Bruce Banner guy, and when they're trying to figure out who's in charge, he finally just Mr. Hydes out and stabs himself in the neck with something and turns into this chaos beast sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Or is it a chaos beast with spectacles on his nose?
Well, can I help you?
No. I like the idea of like
this. It changes. Yeah, the surprise.
The Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I had Rennie running things there. And he's a mentally unhinged monster whisperer who, for some reason, has some sort of devotion or bond to the Red Alchemist.
Okay.
And he steps in to the situation with all the techs and such whenever the aberrations get out of control, because he has some way with these created monstrosities and being able to calm them down or control them. So the fight against him would involve him controlling a lot of monsters to be thrown at them.
Lots of minions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
A lot
idea.
Of mooks.
And to kind of wrap up your adventure, the players should find more of these red arrowhead tokens or tattoos that then should lead them out.
Yeah.
In our next episode of our next adventure, we're heading towards back into the Desolates, this wasteland. And so to wrap up this adventure, you should definitely start leaving some breadcrumbs of these red arrowheads.
Right. And at the end of the adventure, the group has obviously discovered the fighting pits for their icons or their town or whatever their initial hook was. They've also managed to drive out this manufacturing of aberrations from the island near Carrix. And they've got some clues about the Red Alchemist and possibly where this icon is heading next. But that's sort of the arc of the first adventure. We've got a lot of great ideas. The red arrowhead is the iconic symbol of the Red Alchemist. Any final thoughts before we wrap up this random encounter?
No, should be fun.
Awesome. So if you end up using this or have any thoughts or feedback on it, please leave us comments on our website or shoot us an email or call our voice number and leave us a voicemail. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron at patreon.com/iconicpodcast. Well, you've been listening to the Iconic Podcast.
If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can contact us at iconicpodcast@gmail.com or call and leave a voicemail at 720-924-1706.
And be sure to check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and new episodes.
Thanks for listening.